evening, everyone. This is Evident Footprints, and I think we opened with our closing theme tonight, so you didn't hear the show announcement. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and as we usually say in our introduction, we cover a variety of topics, and today, the 4th of January on the East Coast, or still January 3rd everywhere else, we are, except for the Central Time Zone, we are now our either third or fourth day into the new year. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to reference a story that has come out recently. Again, it's not been reported in the mainstream media. We don't anticipate it soon until we get the news that the Treasury Secretary, Henry M. Paulson, has died of a heart attack, a car accident, or a plane crash, possibly even committing suicide. But we will not hear the news about him having been shot in the chest by a gun. Now, this story has come out to be a Christopher story, no pun intended, of worldreports.org, the author and editor, publisher of the International Currency Review and other fine geo-financial publications. Mr. Story reported that, and this was on New Year's, that Henry Paulson had been shot on or about December 28th of 2007, was taken to a hospital in critical condition where he remained until he passed away on the 1st of January. It's not been reported other than on this show, and it's been picked up by a few other networks. Republic Broadcasting Network has mentioned the story several times, and in reference to finding out via various sources through the internet or phone calls. I know this firsthand, and I can tell you that we probably won't hear anything until they figure out how they're going to spin this, if we hear anything at all. That said, our prayers go out, if it is a true story, to Mr. Paulson's family and friends, and unfortunately, this is how the game of international finance is played. As we have more facts, and if we are able to confirm this one way or the other, to any greater extent, we will do so. Tonight's guest has been on the show a couple of times, and he has his own website, which is a very well-known research site around the world, and we brought him on the show tonight. We're going to discuss this anomaly for a few minutes before we go into a very interesting topic that probably explains why everything is so crazy right now around the world. Tonight's guest has been on the show before, and we brought him back again to discuss this issue in particular. I would like to welcome to Evident Footprints, our guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, how are you?
I'm fine, Don. Thank you.
You heard my introduction there, and I know you're somewhat aware of this this story, which is actually related to Wantagate and the embezzled trillions of dollars. What's your take on the story?
Well, if it's true, it seems to fit with the trajectory of events that were apparently brewing in the background. Of course, you're much more an expert on the Wanta story than I am, but it seems like a logical evolution of events. I think you had mentioned that Paulson apparently had been warned that he might come to a dark end if he pursued the activities he was pursuing, and if in fact he was killed, then that apparently is the sad outcome to nefarious dealings. So it's quite a story. And as you said, I think what we will experience when it goes public, assuming it does, is that they'll spin it. You're absolutely right. He'll have died of some natural event or accident in lieu of being shot. Because if they admit that, then they'll have to start asking why. By the way, do you know where this occurred? What country this occurred in?
Well, I'm presuming it occurred in the United States. Most of this was going on in the United States. Now, there are some interesting elements tied to this whole story. Anyone who has been following it, and the primary reporter, based upon inside information that was coming from Leo Wanta and Michael C. Cottrell, his vice president, treasurer of Ameritrust Group, Inc., and then other contacts that Christopher Story has, both in the international intelligence community, within the financial realms, and then within his circle of sources around the world. These people have been trying to be forthcoming with him. Now, he's been receiving a lot of, I think, disinformation, intentional disinformation from certain intelligence agencies who want to discredit him. He has published many of the records of this, not just in his online postings at worldreports.org, but as well as in some books. In the International Currency Review, he has devoted several issues to the story. He's alluded to it in his book, The New Underworld Order, which is a fantastic study on secret societies and their plan to enact a one world government and total global domination. And he gets into quite a bit of the dark side of it and all these, how these secret societies are interwoven together or working together and even hoodwinking their own membership. So he's pretty thorough in his research. Now, it's very easy for anyone to be misled. I could easily be misled. You could be easily misled because we want to report the truth. And when we find something that is not reported in the media, which is, it seems to be their current tactic to get these juicy bits of information out, and because it's not on the mainstream media, no one believes it. Well, we've got to realize for at least the past 60 years, they've been controlling everything that comes out, and that is by design. So we have to take this with a grain of salt. But if it's true, the very people that are aware that the mainstream media is keeping the news from us expect for some reason to verify it through the mainstream media, and that's sort of insanity if you if you consider that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think, you know, the very people that are hoodwinking us are not going to tell us the truth all of a sudden.
No, of course not.
Especially if the man has been murdered. Now, who it is, and I'm addressing the issue that you brought up, who it is, it's been speculated that it could be someone in the administration. It could be foreign intelligence. He had been known to have been traveling to China and Germany and Israel. And there's an Israeli connection in this. And Christopher Story points this out. It's alleged that Paulson had dual citizenship, that he had an Israeli passport as well. And as many of the players in this this saga have.
Yes, yes.
So you know, we're just trying to report the truth, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this. This affects our country. It affects the world's economy, and it's an important story.
Yep.
And it's been totally whitewashed by the media. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about it on the web. People have been posting his reports. I've written about it. But I'm not the only one that's written about it, and there are some very knowledgeable people in the banking industry that are saying this is true. They know this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very outspoken because these bankers are being taken out. And it has been reported that bankers have been found murdered.
Right.
And this is a serious issue.
Yep.
They want us to operate from fear. They want us to fear the worst. And somewhere we have to take a stand and realize that we're fighting demonic forces here.
Yep.
And they don't like to hear us say that either, but we have to speak the truth. If the shoe fits, wear it.
Right. Yep. That is the most accurate way to portray the nature of the struggle. It is a spiritual battle. At the top of the pyramid, it's a spiritual battle. And yes, it's obviously demonic forces are the power behind the New World Order gang. Unfriendly aliens are themselves controlled by demonic groups. So, just to amplify the notion of news as a total as theater. It's total theater. We just have to look to the Bhutto assassination of a week or two ago. What they were trying to sell us in the media, it was so clearly. Every major news channel that every talk show that I caught, the typical news hour type roundtable chats with Washington reporters, etc., and particularly all the news reports, almost in unison were selling the party line. It's Al Qaeda, operatives who assassinated. It's so clear from just the facts of the assassination. First, she's totally at odds with the ruler of that country. I think she made a huge mistake to come back, but. She's driven by a desire for power herself, and it was clear that he wasn't going to let her gain a foothold. He surrounded her house when she had a scheduled. This is going back a month or two ago. I can't remember exactly. Approximately 2 months ago, she was going to attend a huge rally. Well, he surrounded her house with military forces so she couldn't attend. And then he suspended. He declared martial law. He canned. I'm talking about Musharraf, of course, the president of Pakistan. He just literally got rid of the Supreme Court justices because they weren't playing ball with him. And President Bush makes a big deal about the fact that. If Musharraf takes off a military uniform and puts on a civilian suit, everything apparently is going to be fine. Just changing the uniform that he wears in public is going to make all the difference in the world. I remind my readers on my website that we are the United States, American taxpayer, is paying this guy Musharraf $80 million each and every month to. Quote, help us fight the war on terror, and we've been doing that for the last 3.5, 4 years. That's a lot of money going out to essentially prop up a extremely corrupt dictatorial government who has done no more, first the war on terror is a concoction of the Bush administration to begin with. There is no war on terror. There's only the war against innocent people by, these elite plotters. But we're paying an awful lot of money to this guy, and what are we getting back? There's a great deal of repression, going on in that country, and I see they're going to have a great deal of trouble in the months to come, because they won't, the people will evidently revolt. It's getting to a point that Musharraf is becoming so hated now, particularly the public certainly recognizes that he played a role in the Bhutto killing, and you had mentioned to me that Christopher Story and others had ID'd the American CIA as being an operative in the assassination. So,
well, that was my initial take, and I was unclear as to whether or not martial law was still in effect. I was told by another talk show host that they felt that it was, to the best of their knowledge, it was still in place.
No. He lifted that a couple of weeks ago, I believe.
Oh, he did.
Somewhere, yeah, mid December, on December 15th or 18th, somewhere in that. Yeah, he lifted that because they were supposed to have an election on January the 8th.
Yes.
And Bhutto would have been his main, you know, she probably would have been elected, but of course they had planned to rig the election. Anyway, but had it been a fair election, had she not been assassinated, she probably would have won. So he quote lifted that martial law thing and changed his uniform. But I was just so annoying. There was there was a few commentators, but they were the vast minority on television who at least alluded to the idea that the Pakistani people are blaming, you know, Musharraf. They're not buying this Al-Qaeda spin for one second. So a few of them admitted that, but most of the mainstream TV reporters, when it first happened, all day and the following day, what you heard again and again and again, CBS, because it was, you know, this is during the Christmas time, they were broadcasting one of the reporters from Sharon, Connecticut. He was like sitting in a personal library. They were, you know, making the broadcast. And he's just spinning the party line. This is evidence of Al Qaeda being behind this and Osama bin Laden. And that's the boogeyman. They trot out every time they want to cover up one of their, assassination plots. It's Osama, who's probably been dead for a few years now. I think you're of the opinion that he passed a number of years ago.
At least 2001, let's say around December 14th. Yeah.
They keep it slightly, it's like Capone, you know, they hung, you know, everything on him but the Chicago Fire.
Well, when we were growing up, Ken, the boogeyman was sleeping under our bed, and now he's in the Tora Bora Mountains or somewhere up in northern Afghanistan. We chased him out from our bedrooms, and he's been trying to get back in ever since.
Yeah, today when, you know, we're going to chat a little bit about reptilians later in this conversation, but among other things I was spending some time on is I was studying some online videos which were showing the remarkable number of doubles that Saddam Hussein had. Now, I, of course, didn't break the story, but I put the story up on my website quite some time ago that the guy they executed surely was not Saddam, because it's so clearly evidenced from pictures of Saddam, especially during the 90s, that he's not the same man. The dental work on the real Saddam, his lower teeth are completely straight and even, and this man who they executed had totally crooked teeth, yellowed with a severe underbite. Saddam Hussein never wore a facial beard in his life. He wore a mustache, of course, as many Arabmen do, but never a facial beard, and yet this guy, do you recall when they picked this guy up, he was, of course,
he was in a hole in the ground.
In a hole about 30 feet. It's like a rabbit. Now, can you imagine Saddam Hussein, this multi billionaire who was rebuilding the palaces to, you know, when he was still in power, to, you know, resemble what it was in ancient Babylon. He has all this, you know, just unheard of amounts of money to spend on palace, you know, rebuilding the gardens of Babylon. And this guy is going to be so lacking in resources, so lacking in money, that he's going to wind up in a 30-foot hole.
Well, he had what, 62 palaces and about $100 trillion?
Yeah, as if he's going to wait around and, you know, and be in the country while, you know, the troops are moving around his palace, you know, just a few hundred yards away. And, of course, I don't also believe that the... Well, it's just my presumption, but we're so easily fooled, snowed by the media that I don't believe the men there who they killed and are calling his son, in fact, are his true sons. I think they too were doubles. The bodies were so damaged, if you will, from the attack they were subjected to that, those bodies likely were not the sons either. But I just thought it was interesting. I previously had just been studying the original Saddam and this man who they executed with the full beard, and I'd showed close up difference in the teeth. But in the videos that I saw today, there's many more doubles. I saw at least 8 guys that looked very, very close to the original Saddam. And there was the German fellow who was doing a very credible job of pointing out the differences in all these characters. So Saddam, the true Saddam Hussein, is surely alive. His sons are probably alive, and they're cooperative players. There's a play going on. The script has been written long ago. And we see it played out by the media. There's almost nothing that's presented on the media that's a true representation of the facts. While I'm on the air, I just have to reiterate something that I mentioned to Jeff Renz the day after the October 22, when the so-called first wildfire broke out in Southern California. I emailed Jeff Renz to tell him that all these fires have been set. They're obviously arson. The cover story they were using on TV on the fires broke out supposedly in the middle of the night on that weekend, and
from a down power line, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was the most common story. Now, again, being fair to the media. Let's say maybe after 18 to 24 hours, they, particularly for local Orange County reporting, for instance, in Irvine, the firemen said on camera that we have clear evidence that these fires were set here in the Irvine area, and a few other people said we're getting reports that some of these fires may have been set. But the most common story was that it was downed power lines. And what I mentioned to Jeff Renz is that it is statistically impossible for, I can't recall the total number. There was a minimum of 8 and up to 12 separate fires from San Diego, which is on the border with Mexico, to San Bernardino and above, which is about approximately a quarter to a third of the entire length of California. Now, within a space of 2 hours on one weekend, it's statistically impossible that independent arsonists, careless campers, and down power lines are all going to occur within 2 hours of the same weekend. That can't happen. It was an operation. It was a military type arson job from beginning to end. Those fires were all started within a couple hours of each other in an area that's you know, virtually hundreds of miles long, you know, and, 70, 80, 100 miles wide. I mean, it's a huge area that erupted in fire within a couple hours. It just can't happen any other way than being said. It just can't happen any other way. And of all those allusions by TV reporters to down power lines, I did not see one video camera crew showing us one of those down power lines. You merely had reporters making statements. They didn't say where the down power line. We didn't see any video of it. I did remember seeing video. There was a power, an electrical power station that they claimed that a particular fire in one area had started from that power station and, you know, moved through a wooded area. Again, statistically, can't happen.
Well, I saw one video, actually, and I can't remember if it was CNN or Headline News, one of those two. It was a shot of a down power line, but there was no fire. So
yeah, well, you know, yeah. Thank you. You're making a very valid point. When they say down power lines, it's with the inference that if a power line were to fall down, that somehow it's an automatic conclusion that it would start a fire that then erupts into a forest fire. The problem is that first, power lines are made to withstand high velocity winds. I mean, if power lines, Santa Ana winds, the Santa Ana winds are undoubtedly being jacked up by artificial means. What they're calling the Santa Ana winds, okay? It's just like the hurricane weather engineering, the tornado weather engineering. They can generate winds quite easily, and you don't necessarily have to have a weather system. They can just move around the jet stream, and they can generate quite a bit of wind. So we have the winds being generated that are being called the Santa Ana winds, so naturally it's going to fan fires. However, power lines are designed to use a certain size of cable. There's a certain amount of slack in the cable to withstand, I'm sure, much more than perhaps 150, 200 miles per hour winds. People who make these things aren't going to make them so. And by the way, the power lines that we usually hear coming down are street level power lines, not high tension, because those cables are much thicker and much stronger. Whereby, you know, cables that are lower voltage that are going along feeding streets, street poles, those are the ones that, if they come down in a hurricane, are there. And it's often simply because a tree fell across the wire and caused it to break. But where they have high power lines out carrying very, very high voltages across, the area below and on both sides of power lines are always cleared of brush. Mm-hmm. They don't allow trees to grow right on their power lines. It doesn't happen. They're cleared.
I remember also that there was a massive accident on Interstate 5 somewhere in the vicinity of the northern end of the San Fernando Valley, where it moves into Canyon Country. Do you know the part of Interstate 5 that I'm talking about? And it was broadcast that there was a massive traffic jam that just shut down that portion of the freeway.
Yes, I do remember. Yes, I remember there was a number of traffic jams because they were saying because of people leaving the emergency equipment trying to get in. There was huge, massive traffic lockups.
This was reported as a multi-truck type of accident where there were, you know, fires and...
Oh, and yes, I remember that one. Absolutely. That was a big one. Yes, yes.
But that didn't contribute at all to any fires outside of that area, which
right.
is, you would think that would cause quite a bit more damage than one single down power line.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I'm familiar with the Santa Ana winds and the dry temperatures, and mm-hmm. It seems to me that the whole area, what I noticed when I saw all of these fires on a map of California, that, wow, these are all OTO strongholds. These are all where all the Satanist groups are.
Yes.
And of course, fire is their preferred method of destruction.
Yes. Yep. That's actually true. Yep.
Well, we could go on and on with that.
Yes, but we have another topic we want to talk about.
We have another topic. Now, what is interesting is this is something that I haven't talked about a whole lot on my show. I have talked about it with several guests, Jim Murray, Michael St. Clair, who is he's probably the world's most renowned astrophysicist. And he is an intuitive, and he's actually consulted by governments. And believe it or not, aliens even consult this man. So Michael is a very good friend, and he and I see eye to eye on this as well as you and I.
Yeah.
And there's this anomaly that's appearing now. Maybe it's because of the advance of high-definition television, TiVos, you know, the ability for us to digitally record what's being broadcast on television.
Yes.
And there is this rash of video coming out showing certain key people in the media doing a molecular dance, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
Would you like to set this up for us?
Well, okay. What we're talking about is we're referring to shape-shifting, and it's the phenomena where people who appear to be human under certain circumstances will morph into the reptilian form or some to some degree. They don't on camera. I've yet to see one go 100% reptilian, but their appearance changes so radically in what we're seeing today. And probably for the reason you say, digital technology, as anyone knows who has a digital camera, that we now, when we're taking pictures of chemtrails and so forth, many phenomena which we cannot see with the naked eye, such as UFOs, spherical orbs, show up in digital photographs when we upload them to the computer, and particularly when we run them through filters or enlarge them, we see things that we never saw. I've taken a number of pictures that includes anomalous things that I did not see with my naked eye. I was just shooting the sky to take pictures of chemtrails or sylphs, and yet when I examine the photos carefully in my computer, I'm amazed at what shows up. And of course, I've been sent a number of startling photos. Same deal. People usually don't see the phenomenon with the naked eye, but a digital camera will record it. Now, the first instances I saw of photographs were probably around, I remember there was, probably had to be somewhere around 98 or so, because when Clinton was still president, I saw some photos of him, Bill Clinton and Al Gore, in which there was some slight changes to the features of their face, in which you can see that, you know, from minute A to minute B, the man's complexion definitely changed, but it was a slight shift. The videos we're talking about that can be found on YouTube, and we're talking about a much greater degree of morphing of their physical appearance. The appearance becomes enormously distorted, and the eyes, all of the face, the nose, it's just remarkable the degree of changes that you can witness on these video clips. And of course, what's sort of amusing, we were laughing about it when talking earlier today, is that the exchange between reporter at the studio and, let's say, a field reporter, or in some cases with a guest, like we mentioned, there's a video that came out in late October of this year of Jenna Bush, the daughter of President Bush, who was being interviewed on Fox television network about a book she recently wrote. And Jenna is shape-shifting while they're conducting the interview. And the people in the studio are seeing this. The camera people are seeing this, and they're trying to alert Jenna to the fact that her appearance is changing. And it's kind of amusing how they're trying to layer in certain words or sentences into their narrative or into their questions to her to try to tip her off that her appearance is changing. And then the camera will cut away back to the studio. The person in the studio looks normal. And then a moment later, they cut back to Jenna Bush, and she looks normal for 15 or 20 or 25 seconds, and then she begins to morph again. And she is just one of a number of videos that we see on YouTube this year. I put up a story in September of this year, in which I still framed, I captured with my digital camera, I just set it up on a tripod, and I just shot my video, my computer monitor. I still framed a video of a reporter out of Minnesota, a CNN reporter by the name of Rob Olson, who severely shape-shifted during a news segment he was doing. He was reporting on an event in the field, and the entire clip only lasts about 2.5 minutes, but the degree to which he shifts is enormous. I believe it was a commemoration of the September 11 events that he was covering, because I put the story up around September 17th, I believe. So what I did is I wanted people to be able to see the still photos of the changes. So I took a photo every second of this clip, and then I decided on which ones to use, and I have about, I don't know, there might be as many as 80 or 90 still frames that I posted on that story, but it's simply remarkable how you see them shift. And there was another reporter, also CNN, you can still see this on YouTube, his name is Michael Brownlee. He has a short 2.5 or 3 minute segment, and he begins to shape-shift into the reptilian form, and the cameraman is signaling him that so in the middle of a report, Brownlee simply steps off camera. He continues to talk.
Is it easy? Like, could you just be, like, calling him at any time?
Are we still there,
that
Don?
That was strange.
That was very
yes,
strange.
I'm here. That was very strange. It sounds okay. Like the Grays are moving in tonight.
Yeah.
Do we have a caller?
Yes, we apparently have a caller. That was remarkable.
Oh my goodness! You know, there. I have to interrupt you just for a second. I hate
sure.
to, you know, keep your train of thought. I was listening to one of my show archives. And right after my theme music played, there was, on that particular night, we were having a problem with me hearing the feedback from the network, which sometimes happens. And there was maybe a 3 or 4 second gap before I began speaking, because I didn't know when the music had stopped. And, of course, I didn't want to compete with the music. But what I heard in this break was a sort of a grunt or a squeal sound, and it was very similar to what we just heard. Only I think that whatever it was that was speaking learned to put words together and completed a whole sentence. And that
yes. Yes, you have to wonder. Anyway, what we're talking about now is that today on the internet, YouTube, if you go to youtube.com, and they have a search box there, and if you simply type in the words reptilian shapeshifters or just reptilians, you're going to come upon these videos that I'm referring to. Now, I have this piece I did on Rob Olson. It's on my current news page. I'm pretty sure September 17th is the date of that article. And you could link to some of the shape-shifting. But if you go to YouTube, you can find many more videos now. And I did that piece in September. The one of Jenna Bush shape-shifting was posted, I think, on October 23. And today, I mean, it's early January. As I was looking through the Jenna Bush videos, I see there's many more videos of relatively well-known people who are caught on video shape-shifting. It seems to be mostly Fox News reporters, Fox anchor personnel, and CNN reporters. These are the people who we usually see clips of shape-shifting. Of course, this includes well-known politicians. Nancy Pelosi has seen a shape-shifting on one or two videos. She shape-shifts quite severely. It's not a minor change. It's a fairly serious change. Of course, George Bush Sr. is caught on a video with Bill Clinton. His eyes particularly are shape-shifting into the vertical slits that reptilians are known to have. And in other cases, like the Jenna Bush video, as well as the some of the Fox LA Fox News reporters, the eyes really sometimes becomes very dark, black, and it's just remarkable. Now, I had a fellow send me an email about 2 weeks after I posted the Rob Olson story and saying, here, go to this clip. You don't see him shape-shifting. I discovered today that I went to the original Fox Network link where the story was originally posted, and the fellow who posted to YouTube of Jenna Bush shape-shifting had included the original link. He says, I didn't edit this video at all. This is just the way I captured it. Go to this link. This is the original page that I got it from. So I went to that page just to see what it looked like. And when you see it on the Fox News Network, she does not shape-shift at all. So they clearly have the expertise and the equipment to filter out this distortion, this morphing of the face, so everything looks normal. But again, on YouTube, you can see the broadcast as it was originally seen before they had a chance to clean it up. You can easily see the degree to which she morphs into the reptilian form. Now, what makes the Jenna Bush clip particularly fascinating and amusing is that the anchor, the people in the studio, there's a woman reporter there and the man reporter, Steve Edwards, I think you said his name was, and
yes,
you know the
Steve
gal's
Edwards.
Name better than I do.
Dorothy Lucy.
Okay, and apparently Dorothy is herself a shapeshifter. Is that? Did you mention you
well,
saw her?
I had seen. You know, I want to point this out to the listeners that if you didn't know Ken as well as I do, you would think Ken maybe had a couple too many drinks this evening. maybe both of us. But I don't think Ken drinks, and I don't drink, so I can tell you that I have seen in real time when I lived in Los Angeles, as well as you know, currently in his recent Fox feed of his show, I think it's called Good Day Live or Good Day LA,
yeah.
Which is out of Fox 11, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, right.
And he was doing the show co-hosted with Dorothy Lucy and also Jillian Barbary.
Right.
I swear I had seen all three of them shapeshift. Well,
right.
It's evident on this tape.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in the Jenna Bush interview. They are giving her cues that she's shapeshifting. Well, how would they know she's shapeshifting unless they do it themselves?
Yes, and also
now,
they do
in these other videos.
Right, right.
That's the thing. The Strawberry Festival.
Yeah,
oh,
that was That was enormously interesting. Yeah, to back up just a bit, we're presuming that everyone listening to this is up to speed on the notion of reptilian aliens. I think David Icke did a very credible job in his 1999 book called The Greatest Secret. It's the book that really outlined the fact that there are a number of people in positions of power and authority who are not strictly human. They shapeshift into, or they are capable of shifting into a reptilian form. Now, I've been told by people who have greater knowledge on this topic than I do that some people are, let's call it a hybrid reptilian, and others, particularly the royal family or very high-level members of the Illuminati, are what they refer to as full-blooded reptilians. But apparently, under certain circumstances, Arizona Wilder, who was a former high priestess with the Illuminati, she was a victim of mind control, she reported to, in David Icke's 1999 book, as well as a three-hour video interview she did with David Icke, again in 99, it was called Revelations of a Mother Goddess, refers to the fact that she's attended and been involved in satanic ceremonies involving the royal family of England, most of the famous politicians of the United States, the Bushes, etc. And she says that during these satanic rituals, that these people shapeshift into full reptilian form, in which they don't partially change into a reptilian appearance, they fully transform, and they become much larger in size, taller, heavier, and some of the reptilians, particularly there's a caste system, I'm told, among reptilians in which the royalty of this reptilian group have tails, whereby the lower caste members are without tails. So Arizona Wilder says that all members of the British royal family, when they participate in these satanic ceremonies, shapeshift, and they all possess tails. Now, this is very hard to believe or accept if you've been buying into the mainstream view of what we're told is reality. Mm-hmm. If you're still stumbling around with the notion that that you're having trouble just accepting that there are UFOs and aliens, then you know this is too advanced a class for you. However, if enough people don't wake up, we're going to be totally subjugated by these forces, because then they're in effect, they are taking over this planet, and we will become a yet another slave colony of these individuals. And they are defeatable, but the first thing we have to do is recognize that they exist, and we can't simply react with knee-jerk denial. I do get a certain amount of email from people who just deny that chemtrails exist. They tell me that I had one guy wrote me from Canada, claimed to be an engineer with an aircraft company, a turbine engineer, and he wanted me to know that chemtrails are pure fantasy, and he's going on and on and on, and he's just in utter denial. We have to face the facts. This phenomenon exists, these beings exist, and we can see them with our own eyes in video clips, shape-shifting, at least partially shape-shifting. We just have to face up to the facts here, that we're facing a serious situation, but I wonder, I mentioned this to you earlier today, that because it is now becoming, there are so many of these YouTube video clips now available, I have to wonder, is this not part of a planned scheme to gradually acclimate the public to the presence of reptilians? I just can't believe that this is, if this was important to them to keep under wraps, we would not be seeing these video clips remain at YouTube for more than a couple hours. It just makes me wonder. It seems to dovetail with the agenda or the plan of Project Bluebeam, which I have posted at my website, which is, of course, the the plan to gradually acclimate the public to the alien presence on Earth. And the idea is to get the public first to accept it and not, you know, deny it or recoil in horror at the notion of these beings. And I think that they want us to come to the idea that somehow when they're the more, let's say, difficult aspects of the planned destruction of the United States are set into motion, and, you know, the economic life becomes much grimmer in this country, keeping a job, getting food, finding shelter becomes more difficult. I think we're going to be led down the path that the aliens are going to, quote, help us. They're going to be touted as somehow being in a position to save us from what we're going to be told are terrible disease outbreaks, because, you know, we're being primed with chemtrails for the last 9 years to compromise our immune system and make us so easily prey to virulent diseases that they may plan on releasing sometime in the future. I think the game plan is to first sell the aliens as saviors, and then what will happen, similar to the theme of the television series that was broadcast in the 1980s called V, in which we'll later be treated to a betrayal of what we're led to believe were friendly, helpful aliens. And the way to prevent them from enslaving all of us is we'll have to band together under a single worldwide one world government in order to combine resources and to fight the alien menace. That's a very, very short, truncated, and clipped summary of Project Bluebeam. It does include many other factors, but the idea that we're, Dr. Stephen Greer, with the so-called Disclosure Project, I think is working perfectly hat in glove with the Project Bluebeam planned agenda, the sort of stuff that Whitley Strieber does with his so-called these what they call star conferences, etc. Richard Boylan is another one who is leading us down this road that we're to become acclimated to the alien presence, and someday, I don't think it's going to be too far in the future, We'll see stuff on TV in which there'll be huge armadas of UFOs flying over, probably South American countries first, because I've already seen videos from South America that show what we are told are armadas of saucers. It's probably holographic images, but we're told it's we'll be seeing this right here in America. So somehow I feel the exposure of these video clips that we're referring to are allowed to happen, as much as the revelations of the torture in Abu Ghraib was allowed to happen. I don't for a minute believe any of that film would ever have been taken or released if they didn't want the world to see it. That agenda is to destroy the image of the United States in the world, in the eyes of the world, as the good guys. They want to destroy this country, and so they have to be sure that the world knows that we're, the military now is in CIA, et cetera, is involved in torturing people and depleted uranium and all that. It's all part of a larger agenda, I believe, to create hatred towards the United States because they want to destroy the United States.
It's also fear-mongering, too, Ken.
Right. There's both those elements. In all these cases, the fear is what they feed on. It's a form of energy which these reptilian forces, literally feed on, as well as other demonic entities. And every time we get panic-stricken or anxiety-ridden, this is the reason I tend to rail against doom and gloom prophets on my website. I've been of late put up a couple articles in which I take a website called Zeta Talk to task. I used to be a strong supporter of Zeta Talk in the 90s, and Amitak Stanford has a website talks about very dark events that are going to unfold, and Steve Quayle, and there's a number of them. I just group them together as doom and gloomers. They are doing far more damage than good, and the fear thing is their game, and I believe that these people are used for that reason. I recall well, even on the Art Bell show during the 90s, there was this Father Malachi Martin, who was often interviewed on the Art Bell show in the 90s before he passed away, and sounds like a very knowledgeable guy. Wrote a number of books talking about the Illuminati infiltration of the Vatican, etc., and it seemed to be a very decent fellow, but he was referring to the prophecies of Fatima, and that this terrible event. I mean, you become so fear gripped based on his description of the terribleness of these events that are soon to unfold. You know, and that I'm telling myself, you know, he's playing the same doom and gloom game that these other folks I'm mentioning are playing, and I'm thinking, well, gee, Art Bell, 33-degree Mason, Bill Cooper, when he was still alive, pegged Art Bell very, very well as to where his true colors lie, and many of these guests that were on Bell's show, particularly during the 90s, their principal result of their interviews is to generate fear.
Mm-hmm.
You name it, Ed Dames. I mean, most of his guests, intriguing information, fascinating to be sure. But you're left with the notion, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know,
mm-hmm.
Panic is the only emotion you're left with.
Ken, I'd like to quickly summarize a couple of points that you made and interject a couple of my thoughts. In regard to the shape-shifting technique, let's say, my understanding is that, let's say, these are reptilians who are mimicking human DNA, and so they hold the frequency of our DNA, thus appearing as a certain individual.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the descriptions that I have heard, for instance, William F. Buckley was a reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
William F. Buckley ran the Brussels, Belgium version of the MK Ultra mind control program.
Absolutely.
And when he shape-shifted, it was reported he was about 8 feet tall, but as a human being, he was much smaller.
Yes.
So this would blow the mind of somebody seeing this firsthand. We have the Brandon Corey story, which David Icke had set up a link to, and anyone can Google the Brandon Corey story, and you can see a pretty interesting video where they were following Dick Cheney, at least they were trying to capture Dick Cheney on film shapeshifting. So, you know, we have to confront this without fear, obviously.
Yes.
And then there, you mentioned chemtrails. Now, there, I came across something actually early this morning, which was published on Rent.com in November of last year, on November 27th, in fact. Texas chemtrail samples compared to samples from Venice, Italy. What was interesting about this is that Dr. Hildegard Stanninger actually made comparisons between these two different types of chemtrail samples that were taken from the two locations, and she referred to the Golden Head, and that there were two anomalous figures that appeared looking using ocular microscopy. Excuse me, it's a little early in the morning yet. I haven't had my coffee. And she described two specific shapes. One was dragon-shaped heads, and the other was wolf-shaped heads. Interesting that two satanic symbols are found within in this, and I intuit that these are actually alien substances that they're putting in there, amongst all the other contaminants and the other viruses and bacteria and substances. So these are intended to do many things. Now, they use this lame excuse that this is reflectivity for radio transmissions. And, you know, we're flying to Mars and the moon and various parts of the galaxy. And they have to spray stuff in the sky so our radios work. I mean, this is poppycock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Horse
mm-hmm.
pucky.
Right.
So that taken into account. Then you mentioned the Disclosure Project. My take is like yours, that it's prepping us, you know, with an entourage of all of these government or former government scientists and NASA officials who are parading under oath. They'll swear this before Congress, and they're violating their oaths to the government, their oaths of secrecy, their oaths of national security.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming forward in these videos. So they're obviously doing this with orchestrated permission of the government. That's
right.
My take.
Right.
Dr. Boylan, who you mentioned, Dr. Richard Boylan, it's reported, had his license revoked. I believe he was a psychiatrist, and and he had his license revoked because of excessive with his female patients in the hot tub.
He's having hot tub sessions with his good-looking female patients. I think that kind of put a kibosh on his credentials.
Then all of a sudden he's seen by various witnesses who had allegedly been in underground bases, Denver and maybe Area 51 or Lord knows what bases. But all of a sudden he's communicating on behalf of the Indigo Children and the Star Children, and they take these things to extremes to sort of have something to fall back on when they want to debunk it or when they want to discredit someone who's actually bringing the truth out. So this is, I agree with your take on this, that it is orchestrated. Now, I can tell you that there are aliens, if you want to call them that, or they're visitors who are operating in the light just as well as there are those that are operating in the dark.
Right.
And they're obviously the dark side is to our detriment. Truman and Eisenhower made agreements long ago with the wrong ones.
Yep.
They were entrapped. They were enticed into an exchange of technology. They were told that they were going to be observing our people, and they would give lists. They would submit lists, and of course, this did not occur. People were missing first by the thousands, the hundred thousands, and then the millions.
Yep.
And the story had to be repressed. So MJ-12, the Majestic 12 group, the secret shadow government think tank, was put into place to cover all this up, to debunk every sighting, to debunk every phenomena that occurred, while they were also orchestrating what NASA was going to do and what space exploration was going to become. For whose benefit? What would be the benefit of us going into space when we can't manage our affairs on Earth? It just doesn't make sense, does it? But that issue is never really resolved, and it's never has been resolved up until now, with us waking up and us talking about this and bringing these facts to light, because it's what they don't want us to know. So we have to be able to discern is what I'm getting at here. We have to understand that this has been planned out for thousands of years, at least 13,000 years, and probably longer. It's been going on for darn close to 500,000 years. And
if you read the books of Zechariah Sitchin, he has a series of books which he calls the Earth Chronicles, and he talks about the visiting of this planet by this group referred to as the Anunnaki. As long as 450,000 years ago, because the Sumerian text that he bases the contents of his books upon says they arrived 450,000 years ago. And I believe if we're to pay attention to other sources, that it could well be that man, in his present form, has been on Earth even longer than 500,000 years. Some sources of information indicate that we might have been in our present form here on Earth for a few million years. The notion that we just popped up with the Sumeria or even the Atlantis. The Atlantis period I think our history is much, much longer than that. This is just what is currently available to us. At least we get some fragments of underwater structures that seem to fit with the Atlantis story. And there's underwater structures over off Japan, which also indicate that, but how many civilizations that have been buried under tons of rock and ice, etc., in the poles? There was a time in the North and South Poles were tropical regions. The Gobi Desert at one time was a tropical region, very lush growth. Himalayan mountains at one time were at sea level. If you read any of the texts that talk about the Tibetan heritage, you'll know that in the rocks of the Himalayas surrounding Tibet, there are seashells that couldn't have gotten there by being trekked up there. They're found embedded in the cracks of the rocks and so forth. It's because at one time that region was at sea level, and that's why the seashells are there. But there was massive cataclysmic events that caused the mountain ranges to rise very quickly. Well, as that was rising, there was undoubtedly civilizations that were buried underneath, tons and tons of rocks. But the only thing we're aware of is what we can see, physical evidence of, and or we have tech. So, the mainstream would have you believe that before Sumeria, we were cavemen. That's not quite how our history has worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ken, we went over a little bit, with the blessings of Don Newsom and Seth there at the BBS Control Center. I want to thank them for giving this little bit of extra time here on this important subject. And we can continue this in the near future. I want to encourage everyone to go to Ken's website educate-yourself.org. And what page should they click on to see these presentations that you've done?
Well, the ones on the shape-shifting, if they go to my current news page, when you get to my home page, there's a series of links at the top of every page. And in the top row, on the left side of the top row, the very first link says current news. And that's where I post all of my, you know, most recent postings I put on that page. So when you get to current news, I put a date after every time I post an article, I put the date in parentheses. Scroll down to the Rob Olson shape-shifting story. If my memory serves me correctly, it's somewhere around September 17th. You'll see the story is titled something like Fox News Reporter Shapeshifts During Live Broadcast, or something close to that. And you can see the write-up I did on the Rob Olson shifting. And then, in addition, I have some letters to the editor that I've on the letters page that refers to the reptilian shape shifting. And then just go to YouTube.com and in their search engine, just put in type in reptilian shape shifting, and you'll come up with dozens and dozens of clips of famous people, like Bush's, like Nancy Pelosi, like these CNN news reporters we're talking about, Fox News reporters, and you can see for yourself the shape-shifting. It's really remarkable to see.
Yes, the reptilian news heading also is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the ones we saw.
Yeah,
And I think if you put in there reptilian news, strawberry festival, you will see some mind-blowing shape-shifting going on.
Yes.
Mind-blowing, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, Ken.
Oh, yeah, and the Michael Brownlee shape-shifting, he's a reporter for CNN. Just type in Michael Brownlee. That's a remarkable shape-shifting in which he's shifting so severely the cameraman is signaling him, so he steps off camera, comes back a moment later. He looks normal, but within 15 seconds, he starts morphing into the reptilian form again. Just amazing to see.
I would like to also share with the audience the one we saw. It's actually from Fox 8 out of Cleveland, and it's a beat reporter who is doing a story. I guess it's about a cat rescue. And she's holding this rather large cat. It's sort of a calico mix.
Oh, yes.
And it's a beautiful cat.
Yeah, this is a woman
reporter. Yeah, it's a female reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And what's her name? Kathleen Cochran, I think it is. And the cat, all of a sudden, which she's holding in her arms, cuddling it or cradling it, all of a sudden looks up at her and does one of these...
And it then starts clawing at her face.
Claws at her face, and she pulls it away, and God bless this little kitty.
Yeah.
This cat tears into her. Now, you would say, well, that's pretty sadistic for you to say that. Well, then they do a follow-up story with Wilma Smith and Lou Maglio, and they're well-known broadcasters in the Cleveland area, and they've been with Fox for years. And they're very upstanding, well-respected people in the community. They're not your mainstream newscasters so much, but she begins shape-shifting right there on the set.
Yes.
And I know they had to see this.
Of course.
If they couldn't see it, then it's a phenomenon we're seeing merely because of the frame rate of the video. I would suggest that might be one reason why it's so visible in video. Is that if it's reduced to a different frame rate, it captures it, something that may slide by us. But I have seen this with my, you know, with the naked eye on many, many broadcasts, and CNN, Fox especially, I mean. But I've seen this also on C-SPAN watching the Congress or the Senate. I've seen many, many of our political leaders shapeshift. And if you doubt that, then do some watching, do some taping, and
yeah.
and freeze frame and go frame at a time, and you will see the phenomenon take place. And it's not a distortion of video. Video doesn't do that so selectively.
I do address attempts to debunk the phenomena. In the Rob Olson article that I mentioned to you, I put on September, I do devote a fair amount. I got some emails from some people who were saying this is just a byproduct of digital,
trickery. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I say, read my comments, because I think with that follow-up piece, I put about two times the amount of information that I put in the original piece, because those who are lazy and don't think things through. They might easily jump to conclusions, but you need to think seriously about how this phenomenon is occurring, and if it was simply a byproduct of electronic distortion, it would be evenly distributed. This phenomenon is only occurring in their face, for instance. It's the surrounding images are not affected at all, so it's not simply a matter of electronic distortion. What you're seeing is the individual is
morphing.
Is morphing. There's no other way to say it.
Well, we're supported by such renowned scientists and doctors, learned men such as Dr. Fred Bell, and also Dr. Leonard Horowitz, right here on BBS Radio. So we're in good company talking about this. Mm. We don't have their credentials, but we've done the legwork, and I've heard Dr. Horowitz talk about this in great detail. So I can say that it's supported, and I doubt David Icke and many other researchers are quite aware of it. And of course, the reptilians themselves are aware of it.
Yes.
Let's not forget that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, Ken, we're out of time. Did you have a closing comment you wanted to make?
No, I think we've probably gone over enough here, and I appreciate the opportunity to ventilate these topics, because the public needs to be aware of this and not to react with anxiety or fear about it, to merely to examine it and accept this information, take this in stride, and realize what's taking place in this country. We're losing our freedoms, and we're having our Constitution and our liberties undermined because these individuals are pretending to be our leaders, our news reporters, etc., and they are involved in an enormous deception that a large percentage of this world's population needs to become aware of. We can no longer afford to have so large numbers of people denying what's taking place, because it will get so serious that there won't be we won't have the opportunity to extract ourselves from this dilemma unless we wake up and face it.
Well, there is a happy ending to this story, and I'm sure in a future interview, a future visit by Ken Adachi, we will present some of those solutions and outcomes, won't we, Ken?
Right.
All right. Well, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints. I want to thank Donald Newsom and Seth for allowing us to go over a bit tonight. We try not to do that, but this was a hot topic, and it deserved the discussion. So I want to thank you for the extra time. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints. Our special guest, Ken Adachi. I'm host Don Nikoloff, and my guest tomorrow night will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, teacher, Mr. Jim Murray, and we're going to continue our discussion of hidden technologies and new technologies. So be sure to tune in. Folks, have a great evening. Peace, love, and light. Good night.